You're listening to Abstinence After Sex. All right, hey y'all. So it's Bethany. Yeah, I feel so weird because it's been such a long time since I've done a podcast. It's been a long time since I've done any type of show. But I feel like God put this little virus out here so that we can get ourselves together and that we can get back to what he wants us to do. So first off, if you are a creator of any kind, and everybody is creative, we're all made in his image. So if you are a writer, you need to write in this time where we quarantine. If you are an artist and you draw, you need to draw. If you are a singer, you better make some songs, boo. Like, whatever it is that you are, even if you're a baker, you better start baking and start sending some quarantine packages out, like whatever it is. I feel like God is trying to get us to slow down, get us to be quiet and spend some time with him, spend some time in his word. So, you know, get your life together, sis, so that we can get out this quarantine and start, you know, having fun. All right, so first, let me start off in prayer because it's been a long time and I'm a little nervous. So, okay. God, I thank you for just this time. I thank you for choosing me and continuing to love me and continuing to want to be around me. I thank you for this time that you set in place, this time, even though people are in panic, even though people don't know what to do, I know that this is for a reason. Everything is for a reason, God, and so I thank you so much. I ask that you strip me of everything, every negative thought, everything that, every distraction that wants to come against me sharing what you've shared with me so that I can share with your child, God. I ask that whoever is watching, that your spirit continues to cover them, continues to walk with them, that you allow them to hear something that they need to hear, that you speak to them in a way that I can't speak to them, but only you can, God. I ask that you strip me down of every insecurity. Allow me to be transparent and allow me to know that everything that I share is going to help somebody else. Everything that I went through is for somebody else, God. And I thank you so much for them. And I thank you so much for their spirit. And your spirit that's within them, God. Just be with me and be with us in this time. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Y'all, first off, I want you to know that I'm very emotional. So if you are very emotional like me, just get your tissue and your Kleenex because, yeah, we're going to be going through it. All right, I had to turn my phone on Do Not Disturb because, you know, as soon as you start getting into stuff, that's when people want to call you. They don't want to call you in your time. But then when you start trying to do something productive, they want to call you. So I had to put it on Do Not Disturb. All right. So I guess I should give you, like, some backstory as to why I came up or... Why? All right, so I'm just dealing with, like, negative self-talk and feeling like not my best and not loving who it is that I am. Like, a lot of times we're out here like, oh yeah, I'm a queen and all that stuff, and it's nice to say that, but sometimes when you're alone and you're by yourself, and even when you sin, it's hard to uplift yourself. It's hard to not have those negative things in your heart. It's hard to not feel like you're depressed. It's hard to not feel like see something over this or see beyond the point that you're in when you're feeling, when you're dealing with depression, or when you're talking to yourself negatively, or when you feel like you're alone. So that is how I got to the main scripture. And the main scripture is Psalms 139. It's very common scripture. If you're not really into the Bible, this is the type of scripture that people always quote. when people are trying to give you self-confidence and stuff, they be like, girl, you fearfully and wonderfully made, yeah, blah, 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 and stuff. And so it's a common scripture that people try to give you to basically boost yourself or make you feel like you need affirmation. And so I went to it looking to basically combat my negative self-talk, basically to combat the fact that I felt less than because I continue to sin and I don't understand why I keep doing what I know is not right. So I went to that and the Holy Spirit showed me something that I didn't see before, and I hope that it helps you like it helped me. All right, so I'm reading in a New Living Translation because I like how it sounds in the New Living Translation. So we're going to read Psalms 139, verse 14. I was going to read from 1 to all the way to 24, but you can read it at home when you have your little quiet time with the Lord. So Psalms 139, verse 14, it starts by saying, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Blaspheme you? Yeah, I think that's how it says. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So, first of all, I want to say that I'm not a theological scholar or anything. This is just based off of my personal time with the Lord and what he said to me. So when I was reading Psalms 139, like I read the whole chapter, and what stood out to me was verses 19 through 22, where it says, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked, the murderers, and he's talking about his enemies. And I was going through this and I'm like, this is so random. He's talking about in verses 1 through 18, he's talking about him and God, his relationship with God, how God created him. It's just all him and God. And then on verse 23 to 24 is him and God, just about him and God. And I thought, like, why would he just randomly talk about other people while he's going through this, oh God, you love me so much, it's you and me, or you and me, and then out of nowhere it's like, oh, but get the people that I don't like. And so I thought about it and I thought about it, and the Holy Spirit said to me, like, Bethany, what if he's not talking about something that's outside of him? What if he's talking about something that's inside of him? Like, what if the enemies that he is talking about are the inner me? Like, the things, the negative self-talk, the thing or the sin that goes against. And the one verse that made me believe that was verse 21, and I'll read it again for you. And it says, oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? And instantly I thought about Romans chapter 7, 21, verse 23. It's like, when I see that, he's like, shouldn't I hate what I'm doing? Like, shouldn't I not like the sin that I'm doing? I keep doing it over and over again, and I know that it's wrong. What is wrong with me? Like, why shouldn't I not like this? In verse 22, he's like, yes, I hate them with total hate. Like, I hate the stuff that I do when I know that it's wrong. And I don't know if you've been through that situation. It's like, I keep going back to the same stuff, and I keep going back to the altar, and I keep crying, and I keep wondering, like, when is it going to stop? When am I going to get it together? Like, when are you going to get your together? That's what you keep saying to yourself. And it instantly brought me to Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. So we're going to go to that. Give me some time. Romans chapter 7. If you don't have the Bible app, you need to get yourself the Bible app. I need to be a spokesperson for the Bible app because it has so many different translations. It's amazing. And, you know, it's in your pocket. Everybody got their phone. Don't try to act like you don't have your phone 24/7. Now you got the Bible 24/7. You don't have no excuse. All right. Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I believe this is Paul. But if I'm wrong, you know, correct me in the comments, because I need you. You need me. All right. It says, Romans chapter 7, verse 21. It says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. Make sure you remember that, with your mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. So when I read that, when I read Psalms, it made me go back to Romans. So when I read Psalms 139, it made me go back to that idea, this idea of like, why do I keep doing this? And that's why I believe that, as David is saying in Psalms, as he's talking about the glory of God, as he's talking about how wonderful he is, as he's talking about how awesome he is and how God created him and he crafted him, we like to say this scripture 139, like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And on the verse it says, I am wonderfully complex. But when we say that, we only think about the good stuff. Like, we don't understand that the stuff that you don't like about you is also what God created, is also what makes you unique. The things that you continue to criticize, the things that you continue to not understand why you keep doing, is what makes you so unique and so wonderfully complex. So the whole idea of this, I guess, entire lesson, or what God is trying to teach me personally, is to not pretend that it's not there. Like, to not pretend that the negative talk is not there, and even not to hate it, not to be so against it, because when you do that, you're basically, it's a war going inside of your mind. You're not understanding, like, all right, so with me, I deal with a lot of insecurities and feeling like I'm always alone and stuff, but I'm not. And so this idea of loving yourself completely, like loving who you are, who God created completely, is also loving the fact, not loving the fact, but acknowledging the fact and understanding the fact that we're not perfect. And y'all, I keep trying not to be so emotional. Come on, Bethany, get your life together. All right. It's about accepting and acknowledging who you are completely, the complexity of yourself. And as you acknowledge the part that you don't like, it also opens the opportunity for you to train your mind. And so that's what I keep getting from when I read this. It's like, it's an opportunity to acknowledge the negative thoughts that I have in my mind, but don't run with them. And that's where we have a problem. We take the negative thoughts that we have that are there, and we continue to walk with them instead of putting them in their place. And this is what I see
David do in this psalm. Like, he's putting his thoughts in his place, the negative thoughts that are with him, the complexity of himself, the good and the bad, he's putting them in their place where they need to be in order to continue his life, in order to continue to walk with God. And so this also made me think about 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3 through 5. And so we're going to go there and I'm going to read that to you, because it's important that you you know how to train your mind, that you understand that it's okay. Everybody has these thoughts. Everybody goes through these situations and these periods where they don't feel their best, but you're not supposed to let that thought control you. You're supposed to be in control of your mind. And so how do we control our mind? How do we get it together? All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through, what did I say? Verses 3 through 5? Yep, verses 3 through 5. All right. New Living Translation, y'all. It says, "We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapon, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." One thing that I want you to see is that when it says capture, like, I love this verse because it's telling you, like, when you capture somebody, you're not killing them. So when you capture your thoughts, when the understanding of binding these thoughts, these negative thoughts, you're not killing them. They're not going to go away. They're not dying. And that's the problem that we have. We always want to get, and that's the problem that I have, not we. That's the problem that I had. I'm like, how can I stop? Like, how can I get rid of these thoughts? And they might not go away. And I need you to understand that they might not go away. But what you have to do is to make them obey Christ. And like any thought, like any captive, you have to, like, a thought, like when you capture somebody, what happens? Like, at first they rowdy, they fighting, they're going to fight against you. But after a while, after some years, they're going to be quiet. Like, they understand their place. They understand that they are captive. They understand that they are a slave. And so that's what we have to do with these thoughts and these negative feelings that we have towards ourselves. We have to make them obey Christ. So how do you do that? How do you do that, Bethany? You telling me what to do, but you ain't telling me how. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm crazy. But it's okay. I acknowledge and I accept my complexity. So when it pops up, like when it pops back up, because it will pop up, what you have to do, how do you make something obey Christ? You put the word of God against it. You put the truth against it. Because most of the thoughts and the negative things that we have in our heads are not truth, but they become our truth because we just think it's true. Somewhere in our mind, we think that the negative thoughts, that I'm not worthy, that I'm alone, that I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm whatever your thing is, I can never be this, that, and the third. Somewhere in your mind, you continue to think that it's true. And if you don't hold it up, what is true? If you don't hold it up against the word of God, it will continue to be true, and you will run with that thought. And that's how you get into this period of depression. So when it pops up, because all captives gotta say something, when the thought pop up, it is your job to combat it with the word of God. Simple as that. But you can't do that if you're not in your word. You can't say that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made if you don't believe that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and not just have, like, and not just read your word, just random stuff. Read the stuff that you are dealing with. So if you are dealing with negative self-talk, read stuff that God says and who you are. If you're dealing with worry about your finances, read stuff that tells you that God, that you are prosperous, that you are, I can't think about it, but that's not my problem, because I believe. But whatever your problem is, find the word of God. Find the scripture that's going to combat it before the situation happens. Because if you go out into war and then you think, oh crap, I'm supposed to have my weapon, you're already out there. So you have to be prepared. So acknowledge it when it pops up. Acknowledge it. All right, so let me give you an example for me. So I worry about people not wanting to be around me, or being lonely, or feeling like I need to do stuff in order for people to love me. And when you go through that situation, it's like, all right, this is, yeah, okay, I acknowledge it. I'm alone. At this point in time, I'm probably in my bed by myself or something. Yes, I'm alone. But the word of God says that he will never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm really not alone. And if that's not enough for me in that moment, I literally list out or say out loud. It's very important that you talk. I say out loud all of the people that if I call them right then and there, they will come to me. And I thank God. I thank God for my mom. I thank God for B&B. I thank God for, I list everybody in B&B. I don't want to put y'all out there right now. I thank God for like my pastor. I thank God for my friends, my best friend, and stuff. Like, I literally say out all of the people. And when you say and you show yourself or you show that thought, the evidence against it is like it has no reason but to shut up, because you're telling it the truth. God said that he will never leave me nor forsake me, and then he placed other people with me to ensure me that I am not forsaken, that I am not alone. So the thought that I had instantly has to obey what? Obey Christ. It has to obey. Why? Because I just showed it the evidence that I'm not alone. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, take the word of God and have your list and say it out loud, so that thought has to obey. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm yelling in your face, but it's just... All right. So, another thing that... I hope you got something good out of that. But I also went back to Psalms 139. And something else that I got from this is... And sorry, y'all. I'm trying to find... I'm trying to go back to it. Psalms 139. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So he also shows us like how we can do it ourselves. Like, if that wasn't enough, if what I just said wasn't enough, Psalms 139, David also shows us like the process of combating that negative thought. As soon as he has the negative thoughts, as soon as he says like, I keep doing these sins, I'm supposed to hate him, why do I hate him? And then in verse 23 and verse 24, he shows us like the process. I'm gonna read it again. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and leads me along the path of everlasting life. So we see where David, my pastor, shout out Pastor Paul R. Lee, 20th and Dolphin, Don't Worry Baptist Church. So he likes to give us like, I guess it's called acronyms or something, like just so we can like keep it in our mind. And he likes to use points with the same letter or the same word or something like that. And so, you know, Pastor, I'm following in your footsteps, being a good disciple. So the three things that I see David do is find, face, and follow. So the first thing he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Find. You have to allow God to find, to search. You have to let God come in to that situation. How do you do that? You have to be transparent. You have to be real with yourself. In this moment, in this time that you're going through this situation, well, before you go through the situation, this is basically you're preparing. Like, you're preparing before you start having these negative thoughts. Like, while you're in your little happy mode, while you're going through this little quarantine and everything is good, turn off the TV and take some time so that you can have the weapons that you need. So, find. Allow God in. Allow, say this simple prayer, like, God, I need you. It can be very simple. You do not have to have the thous and the arts and the, all that. No, say, God, I need you to show me the stuff inside of me that's keeping me to continue to sin, that's keeping me to continue to look down on myself, that's keeping me to continue to gossip and be ugly. Like, show me the stuff that's inside of me, the reason why I'm not liking this person for no reason, like, I'm and the people that are around me. Show me the things that are inside of me that allows me to stay friends with people that are just not good for me. Show me. Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. You can be so real with God. You don't have to come to him dressed up. He wants you to be so real. And so one way that you can do that, because I like to give you hows, so you can pray like that, or you can write down your prayers. I love writing down my prayers, because when we pray, sometimes we get distracted. You start thinking about, Lord, you're so amazing. Then you be like, oh, I need to eat something. I ain't eat nothing. And just go everywhere. So writing it down is very helpful. So write down your biggest concerns. And I put, start off with the sentence, life will be better if. And write down, like, what if life would be better if, blah, blah, blah. Because a lot of times we think that, if I get this, then I'll be happy. If I get that, then I'll be happy. If I get a promotion, then I'll be happy and stuff. And you have to ask God, like, God, show me the reason behind this belief. Like, why do I believe that once I get this thing, once I get this, then my life will be better? Why are you not enough for me? Please show me. Like, please search my heart and show me. Sometimes it happens in a dream. Sometimes you having a conversation with somebody and boom. But unless you invite him in, God is not forceful. He's not going to force himself on you. So you have to say, God, I give you permission to search me, to find the thing that's keeping me away from you, to find the thing that's making me believe that you are not enough. What else? Or write down your insecurities, your biggest insecurities, and ask God to find the reason why the cause is. Like, do you have daddy issues? Like, do you have mommy issues? Do you have an issue with your cousin that you need to resolve, that you didn't resolve? Like, you need to figure out, like, why you feel like I can't love or something like that. You have to figure out and ask God to find that. And he will, if you ask him. All right, so we find, we face, and we follow. Face. This right here is the most dangerous prayer that you can ever pray to God. So before you do it, you better think about it. So he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Face. After you say this prayer, you have to face it. When you test something, you're going through it. You have to face it. You have to deal with it. You can't just ask him to find it and not deal with it. That's like saying, please find these termites, because I know there's some termites in my house. And then you see them and you just like, cool. No. You got to deal with it, because you just asked him to find it. So now you got to deal with it. So you have to face it. When you ask God to find it, you're going to have to face it. And that is something that's very hard, because it might involve forgiveness. That beautiful word that not a lot of people like. You might have to cry. You might have to delete all distractions and stuff. Like, when you face something that you have been putting off for a long time, it's going to be hard. So another F word, you have to get some fellowship, some community. I am so blessed to have one, a mother that's a minister. I'm so blessed to be a part of this B&B group. And when I text them, I told them, y'all, straight up, like, I'm dealing with depression. And they prayed for me. And there's something so beautiful about that. So if you do not have that, I pray that you find it. That you find people that are walking with God alongside of you. It will cover you, not only with prayer, but actually cover you and hold you and let you cry and let you be weak. If you feel as though you don't have that, I ask you to join a church. Find that community, because it's necessary. We're not supposed to do stuff alone. That's the reason why we're on earth with other people. When God didn't just put us on earth with other people, he made Adam that he said it's not good for man to be alone. So you can't just be antisocial all the time. Some of the things, you might have to go to therapy. Like, you fellowship, you have to find someone or something that will help you along with God. You can't always do it by yourself. And so as you face the situations, I ask that you go through it, be brave enough to face it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you like the power that's inside you, the love and the self-discipline and all that good stuff. But also send people that are walking in the journey with you. And keep your prayer simple. Like I just said, keep it simple. Like, God, just send me people that are also walking with you. I don't know why I just thought about this, but I guess it's the Holy Spirit telling me it might be better if it's not somebody that's the opposite sex. Because I feel like a lot of us, we think, oh yeah, my boyfriend, he following God and all that stuff. But sometimes we need a different element. We need an actual friend. Not someone that you are romantically involved with. Not someone that you have that... A friend. Like, a true friend. And a lot of people be like, oh, well, he is my true friend. No, don't lie to you. Like, that's... Don't lie to yourself. Because you're not lying to God. So, please. I don't know who it is for. Who this is for. But somebody thought that. And so the Holy Spirit told me... It needs to be a friend, somebody that's like you, same sex or whatever, okay? The Holy Spirit, he talking. I don't know who the hell is for, but you better accept it. So we find it, we face it, and then we follow. Also, and find y'all, this is why you need notes. This is why I need notes. Alright, also when you face it, it says, point out anything that offends you. And this is why I believe that he's not just talking about sin. He's also talking about, like, negative self-talk. And when it says anything that offends you, we have to understand that, do you not think that it offends God when you criticize his work? Every time... Like, would you be offended if somebody walked up to you and be like, your child is ugly, your child is fat, your child is blah, blah, blah. Everything that we say to ourselves is offensive to God. Negative self-talk is offensive to God. And I need to make that known to me and to you. Like, you need to understand that when you put yourself down, you're basically telling God that what he took his time to create is not enough. The scripture says, you knit me in my mother's womb. He took his time. He handcrafted you. And you're literally saying, it's not enough. God, what you created is not enough. I don't like it. It's offensive. So point out anything in me that offends you. And then when we follow, he says, and lead us along the path to everlasting life. What is the path to everlasting life? Jesus Christ. Very simple. And so how do you follow Christ? Very simple. Like, don't complicate it. Figure out what you're dealing with and figure out what God has, the truth. figure out what God has to say about it. That's daily devotion. Not just when something is wrong, but actually taking the time to get your weapons and getting them sharp every day. It does not have to be long. It can be 10 minutes. You and God, by yourself, read the scripture. Put the scriptures up on your, I don't know if y'all can see. Oh, you can. Put the scriptures up on your mirror. Put the scriptures in your bathroom. Put the, like, put the verse, the truth, where you can see it so that you can get yourself together and you can understand and accept your complexities. All right, y'all. So it's very simple. I put some resources here because I like, you know, having concrete things, something that you can use, like, after you watch this video. So when you train your mind, something that helps is meditation. I know a lot of people out in the world use meditation and stuff, so that can be a good thing for you. Or if you just take your phone, put 7 minutes on a timer, and literally just close your eyes, focus on your breathing. It's gonna be hard, especially if you're not used to just being quiet. Like, your thoughts are going to run, and in a lot of meditations, a lot of meditation, guided meditation things, they say, like, it's okay. Like, you're going to have the thoughts because the thought continues to, your brain continues to go on. So that's fine, but you have to get into practice with acknowledging your thoughts, but not running with your thoughts. And there's two different things. Another thing that I recently came in contact with, or I guess that's what it's called, is this podcast called Encounter. And I'll put down a link or something for you guys. I'm not sponsored by them. I don't really know them. But I did a devotional on the Bible app. So make sure you get the Bible app. Stop playing with it. I did a devotional on the Bible app. And I found this podcast called Encounter. It's so wonderful. It's like 15 minutes or 18 minutes. So if you don't got that much time, figure it out. Find the time. But that's why I told you to start with the 7 minutes if you feel like that's just too much. But it's guided meditation, and it also incorporates the Word of God, which is awesome because we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. And so I try that resource out. I put the link for you. Yeah, that's about it. I'm going through the journey just with you, you know. So if you have any ideas or other ideas that people can use to accept their complexity, that people can use to, like, accept that I'm not perfect, but I'm enough how God made me. God is using everything that's inside of me, every sin that I create, everything that I do for my good and for the good of other people. Yeah. Just comment below if you got some ideas. I just thought it would be nice to share this with you guys. That's about it. I might go outside, or I might take a nap. I don't know. Y'all need to pray for me, because every time I get so excited when I do these things, and then I'll be like, that's probably how Pastor feels. But yes, please share. And if I say anything wrong, correct me on these things, because your girl's learning. We learning together. We going through this together. All right. I love you guys so much. And I really, 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 really pray and hope that this really helps you. That when you, because this is when it matters the most. Like, when you're by yourself and you feel like you're alone and you don't have nothing else, this is when Christ is the most important. Like, yes, it's nice to have him when you're happy and stuff, but when you don't know what else to do, when you're depressed and you feel like you don't have no way out, that is when you really need it. So, yeah. All right, I'm really say bye. All right, bye.